Let us turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 3, and we'll be picking it up our reading at verse 24. Heavenly Father, to think about all the things that you have done just blows my mind. I just can't fathom why you would think about me so much. Your word tells that your thoughts toward us are without number. If we were to number them, they would be more than the stars in the heavens. And yet, Lord, we so easily go astray. We are so enamored by the things of this world, by the lust of our eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And Lord, you have told us our status. You have told us that we are all like sheep. We have gone astray. But your Spirit is what leads us back. The kindness that you show, the willingness to forgive us for our sins. Oh Lord, you purchased us. You came and, Lord, you gave us life. Now I pray, Father, that as we need constant reminders, that you, Lord, would be glorified in us as we confess our sins and follow after you with all of the heart. We do love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So our scripture reading starts off today in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, says, "He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. The world heareth them. Ye are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Now last week, as we really punctuated the Spirit, and how that the Lord has given us of His Spirit. Before we came to know the Lord, or before the Lord even entered into our knowledge, we were dead in our spirits, in trespasses and sin. The Bible tells us that we were dead. And it was the Word of God that gave life to us. And it was a typology, really. You see the Word coming forth as Jesus spoke to Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth, calling him by name to come to life. He was dead in the grave. And, even one of the sisters says, Lord, he's been in the grave 4 days, therefore he stinketh. You don't want to roll that stone away. But the Lord called him by name as he called each and every one of us by name and said, "Come forth." It kind of reminds me of the Revelation chapter 4, where he says, "Come up here and I will show you things that are going to, yet to be." He's going to call you by name, "Come up here." And as he called us into life. He says, "Be alive. And I have given you my Spirit." And as we came to life, we realized that it was Jesus Christ that forgives us of our sins. This is how we know that we are forgiven of our sins, because Christ dwells within us. Now as we look here, we can see in verse 2, he says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Now, I can take this to mean two different things. First of all, John was, really, he was fighting a battle with this group of people called the Gnostics that didn't believe that anything good could come from the flesh, because the Spirit says, "In my flesh, dwelleth no good things," as Paul tells us in Romans 7. Nothing good dwells in there. And so they determined that nothing of the flesh could be good, or nothing good could come from the flesh. So they didn't believe that Jesus Christ actually took on human form, that he was some sort of a spirit that really wasn't flesh, but you know, he could impart to us the knowledge of God. But John here, even in the gospel, he starts off, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is not, you know, some person that's not affected by the same things that we are tempted with. We like to think that. We think that I'm a special case, you know, and I'm tempted by these things. Christ was never tempted, so how could he know what I'm going through? He was in all points tempted as we are tempted, and yet without sin. It's possible. It's possible. But he walked closely with the Father. He did always those things that pleased the Father in his flesh. And so we kind of step back and we say, well, that's something that I can't attain to. However, if we take a look at this verse again, he says, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Well, wait a minute. Jesus Christ has come to live in my flesh. He's come to live within me. And it's the Spirit of God that moves us into good works. It's the Spirit of God that we really need to grab hold of. In my flesh, there's nothing good that I can do. As Bruce had said during the announcement, he says, we can get caught up in all manner of activity to keep ourselves busy, to, you know, basically to stop us from thinking about the failures that we have. And that's why people are busy a lot of times, because they don't want to face what they really are. They can't believe that, hey, I'm born again of the Spirit, and yet I'm still sinning. What's going on here? How can this be? You know, I read in the Scriptures that, you know, the soul that believes in God, they have ceased from sinning. But is that really the case? No. You see, we fail so that we will go before the Lord. It's a way of checks and balances. You know, we confess our sin, and the whole thing is, when we sin, the Spirit lets us know that we have sinned. And so, we acknowledge, what I've done is sin, because the Word, I've read the Word, and the Word says that this is sin, that this is against what God would have for my life. We first acknowledge that it is sin. We acquiesce, or we say, yes, Lord, you are right, I'm wrong, I did this thing. The second thing we do is we then confess it. And we confess our sin. We acknowledge that it is sin. We confess that we've done it, that we are guilty. But then there's the third point. And this is really the catcher. And that is, then we repent from that sin. We turn away from that sin. We acknowledge that it was sin. And so when our flesh goes to do that again, we have to turn away from it. We have to say no to that sin, which is really the downfall of us all. Because we're good at acknowledging. Because we read the Word. We come and we hear the Word. We read the Word every day. And the Spirit tells us that this is good Word. And we acknowledge, man, I've done this. I'm sinning. And we confess our sin, because it says in there, the Christian bar of soap, right? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and the graciousness of God. Oh, He is so quick and willing to forgive. He's already forgiven it, because all of it went on Christ at the cross. But it's that repenting of that sin. This is where we kind of fall short. This is why we keep going back and falling into the same things over and over again. This is how we're led astray, because our eyes see things of the world and our heart desires after them. Oh, yeah, and then we find ourselves, I shouldn't be doing this. It's the turning away point. And we try to, how should we say it? How did Paul put it? I beat my body into submission. That's not where it's at. It isn't the body that needs to be brought into submission. It's the Spirit of God. We must allow the Spirit of God to lead us. It's the Spirit of God that has the power. We have no power. And when we find ourselves going down that same old path, we cry out to the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Give me the grace that I need to turn away from these things. This is where the real power is. This is what it's about. It's about living by the Spirit, not by habitual turning away by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Because if you turn away by your flesh, whose work is it? Is it a work of God, or is it the work of your flesh? It's a work of your flesh, folks. It must be the Spirit of God moving you into these things. That's why I say, do not, please, do not get involved in activity if the Lord has not called you in to do it, because you'll just end up frustrated. You'll just end up wasting your time thinking that you're doing the work of God, but then, oh, look at Paul. Paul was zealous for the Word of God, zealous for the traditions of the Father, and he went out and did these crazy things, you know, going against the law of God to thinking that he was serving God. How perverted is that? And this left with Paul. He says, I can't believe that the Lord called me into it, because I caused people to be put into prison. I caused them to blaspheme that holy name. Can you imagine the guilt that weighed on this guy? The enemy had a field day putting this stuff on him. Paul, you remember? Just think about the people that you threw into prison and you tortured to make them blaspheme against the one that you're preaching for now. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Man, I can kind of identify. You know, wow, what? And then to know the grace of God, knowing that it was the grace of God that called him out, and he realized that there's really no sin greater than another. To tell the lie is still is as much as to kill somebody. It's all the same. And Jesus Christ died. He found me worthy to go into the ministry. And it wasn't to a repentance kind of a thing. It was because he was transformed. He was transformed by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit that does these things. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is dead. Not every body. Okay, now it says in there that every mouth, you know, as we confess Jesus Christ, we confess Jesus Christ by our actions, by our attitudes. I, you know, use an example. Last Friday or so, there was a couple of people that went into a Christmas party and started shooting people up. You know, 14 people were killed, 17 wounded. Thousands of people's lives were altered forever because of this action. And we go, oh man. Those poor people and the poor people's family, we need to pray for them. But you see, God's heart is broken for the people that committed the act. This is God's heart. Do you feel pity for them? Because if not, it's not a work of the Spirit, it's a work of your flesh that you feel pity for these people, of these victims. You see, the Lord doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to eternal life. All. And as we are in now this spiritual realm, we come to realize that there are forces out there of darkness that want to destroy us. And we have the light of the Lord. We have the light of Christ, which we are able to see, hey, this is wrong, we shouldn't be doing it. But think about those people who don't have the light of Christ. They're being influenced by a spirit that they don't know, and they have no idea how to combat. And the only thing that leads to is the death and destruction of other people. Think about it. How pitiful should that be? We should be mourning just as much for the perpetrators as we are the victim. This is the heart of Christ. This is how you know you have passed from death unto life. Because anybody and everybody can feel pity for the victims. But what about those that are under that bondage, that were driven by a dark spirit to do these things? You see, we are now enlightened that we know about a spiritual world. How do we combat that? Do we combat that with physical means? No. Do we pass laws? Is that going to affect anything? No. Only, we can only do battle with the forces of darkness in our prayer closets. We can only battle the forces of God, of darkness, with prayer. By interceding on the behalf of those who perpetrate such crimes. Love your enemies, Jesus says. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Now I was taken aback at this, I got to tell you. You know, because I fell so far short. When the Lord opened my eyes to this, I was just like, man, how far short have I fallen? But there it is, right in the Word. It's right there in the Word. All we have to do is read it. You remember when the Pharisees and Jesus got into one of their many heated debates. James and John, the sons of thunder, Remember them? Huh? Oh, Lord, yeah, they came against you like that. Do you want us to call fire down from heaven and consume them? But Jesus said something fascinating. He says, you don't know what spirit you are of. You don't know what spirit you are of. You see, it isn't God's pleasure to judge. That's not what He wants to do. His pleasure is redemption. His pleasure is to save the ungodly. Now, they are no different than what we once were before we became enlightened, before the Holy Spirit of God came upon us. And we must walk in the Holy Spirit of God. Otherwise, we're just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. We went through 1 Corinthians 13 last week. You guys can do that on your own for your homework. But put the name of Christ where charity or love is, and it fits just so perfectly. But then put your name in there, and you see how it doesn't quite fit. TJ is long-suffering and is kind. And no, he's not. Nowhere near, but Jesus is. And so if we are to take on the name of Christ, if we are to confess that Jesus Christ actually lives within us, then it should show forth in our hearts and in our attitudes and in the things that we think about. It needs to translate from our spirit into this flesh. And our conversation is going to be such that it reflects Jesus Christ. You know, I know that there's a lot of work that I need to do, man. I'm telling you, I need your prayers, man. I mean, you guys may have it down, but not me. I don't have it. I got to confess to you that I need to have your prayers so that the flesh will be put down and that I will reflect Jesus Christ just like the moon reflects the sun. I need Jesus Christ shining out from me to a lost and dying world. The flesh gets in the way sometimes. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is something that we really need. We need to examine ourselves thoroughly. Are you in the faith or are you not in the faith? Don't play games. Don't deceive yourself. Examine yourself. Take it right to the bare bone and say, look, am I really transformed by the Word of God? The Word that I read? Is my attitudes changing? Am I quick to forgive those that have hurt me? Am I hanging on to grudges of people that did me wrong 30 years ago? Am I still stewing about that? Are you stewing about anything? You know, that will reflect on the freeway as you drive home. As these people, they get in front of you and they don't know how to drive, or they're doing something else. What's the reaction? What does your heart immediately start to do? Does it get upset? Or do you start to pray? Is it filled with pity? Man, I hope those people don't kill anybody or themselves, because that's what's going to happen. They're ruled by a different spirit. They don't know it. They don't even know that there's a warfare out there. They're just going along in their happy little lives, and they haven't a clue. Whereas we who have been born again know of this world. We know that this world is not our home. We know that we live in the heavenlies. So why do we get so upset about the things that happen here? Why do we get so upset when we see that the enemy is breaking through to kill and destroy? I had an interesting revelation as I was reading the Word. The Word of God is very good for instruction. I was reading about Jeremiah a few months ago. I was reading Jeremiah, and the Lord brought this to my mind. He was saying, Jeremiah is saying that, Lord, you're bringing the Chaldeans down upon us, and they're way more wicked than we are. I mean, how could you bring somebody to destroy us that's more wicked than we are? And I stop and think about it. Now, where are these folks coming from? They're coming from the same region. They're coming in there, and God is using them to cast judgment, perhaps. Maybe it's a wake-up call for us that we need to get our hearts and our minds right with Him, that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to be crying out to the true and the living God that our hearts will be changed. The call didn't go, it went out to the nation, but it went out to the individual. If you will hear His word, then let it have its effect on you. If you will hear, do you have the ears to hear? Do you have the spiritual ears? Have you been awakened by the Spirit of God to hear His Word? And if you hear His Word, then you have an obligation to obey that Word, to respond to that Word. Yes, Lord, Your Word is right, and I have sinned. And I confess my sin. And Lord, by Your Spirit, I will turn away from those sins because I don't have it in me to do so. I don't. And even if I did, it wouldn't be any good. It wouldn't be a work of God. It would be a work of me. And I could stand before You and say, "It's look what I did. Look, I turned away from this sin. I saw that it was sin in Your Word, and I turned away from it because I didn't want to offend You." Well, that's bravado. That's flesh. We say, "Thank You, Lord, for the grace that it took to make me turn away from these things, to show that it was wrong." And You replaced it with something else, something far greater than my hatred or my envy or my lust. You gave me the love of You. I was able to do it because I love You, not by my flesh, but by my Spirit. See, we have such a hard time translating that. We think of love as, you know, something that we feel. It isn't what we feel. It's what we know. It's what we know what is right to do in God's eyes, and we perform that. How do we perform it? By His Spirit. It's step by step, folks. The repenting part is still God's realm. It isn't our realm. The Holy Spirit convicts us, shows us in the Word where the sin is, what the sin is. We acknowledge or confess that it is sin and we've committed it, and then the repenting part we think is ours. It's ours to do. How wrong that is. He wants us to gain the resources from Him to do it. Not to do it in our own strength, because our strength will fail. We might be able to, you know, I don't know if any of you were ex-smokers or even smokers now. I was a smoker. I smoked for 22 years. And I thought, man, yeah, I can quit anytime I want. No problem. Well, my family will tell you, nah, you couldn't do that really. And it wasn't very pleasant for us to be around you. Okay? And I heard stories about people that were addicted to drugs, to heroin, to, you know, like these. They were on the brink of death, and the Holy Spirit of God came upon them and relieved them of that addiction. And it was, boom. I mean, it was right now. And I say, "Lord, why can't You do that for me? Man, I'm here struggling with this, you know, trying to quit smoking because I know it's bad for me." And this is because You're trying to do it in your own strength. I can't give credit to God for that because I did it in my own strength. But I can tell you what I can give credit to God for. He kept me off of them. Because then I started to, and Lord, I haven't smoked in 2 weeks, but man, I sure crave them. And Lord, I haven't smoked in a year and a half, but I'm still craving it. Why is this? He says, because You haven't called out to My grace. You're doing it in your flesh. And so when I started to call out for His, all of a sudden, I didn't crave it anymore. He had replaced it with something else. Something far better. We then start to take on the attributes of God. We then start to confess that Jesus Christ has come in our flesh. And then when we say that, you see, our actions and our words become one. Just like Jesus. Jesus said, "I always do those things that please the Father." And the Father responded with, "This is My beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." So here it is. We are one. I and the Father are one, Jesus would say. Why? Because we have the same mind, we have the same mission, and we have the same words. I speak the things that He has given me to speak. And I haven't spoken anything that He has not given me. See, there's a trick. You know, we tend to try to embellish things. You know, and that's where we get into trouble. That's what false prophets are, you see. False prophets, they're the ones that come, they give the Word of God, but then they switch it up a little bit. They make it a little more palatable for your flesh. What I told you today was not pleasing at all to the flesh. And I hope that's the true case. Because it's purely a spiritual thing. And a lot of times where our straw men that we, you know, we build up, beings our flesh, we want to, you know, okay, we're comfortable behind that straw man. But when somebody comes and starts knocking it down, we just go, "Whoa, you know, where am I now? You mean I've been doing these things for so long and now, man, I need the Spirit of God. And it's the Spirit of God that does that causes us to do that. So when a false prophet goes out, they don't look like some hooded creature that you can't see their face and all you see is glowing red eyes and the smell of sulfur is all about them. That's not what a false prophet is. A false prophet is beautiful. And they have great flowing words. And they have a convincing argument. And it's pleasing to the ears. And the flesh is not offended by these things. And the more of a crowd that they draw, the more they have to water down the initial word of God so that it fits and so people are not offended. And when you're afraid that you're going to offend somebody by your speech or your actions, know this, that is a falsehood. That is the enemy moving in. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been afraid to say something because you might offend them? And then all of a sudden, after the fact, you just go, oh man, why didn't I say something? I had an opportunity to share the Word of God and I froze. You know what that is, folks? That's a false prophet. You professed yourself to be something, but your words and your actions, they didn't line up. In your heart, yes, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, but my words are coming out. I don't want to offend anybody. If I offend them, then I won't be able to give them the gospel later. Well, what if that person dies in the next 10 minutes and you didn't give them the Word of God? Then what? You see, the enemy can play all kinds of jokes and things like that because that's what he does. He comes to kill and destroy. And he doesn't just want you to be quiet. He doesn't want you to be shamed. He wants you dead, folks. He wants to kill you. Because a dead person can't speak. In the Proverbs it says, a live dog is better than a dead lion. And you just kind of look at that and say, yeah, so what? What's that mean? That means a live dog can do something. A dead lion can't do anything. They can't speak. But a lion is kind of well esteemed. They're fearful creatures. A dog, well, not so much. Pit bulls notwithstanding. But, the whole aspect is that, hey, we are alive now and the enemy wants us to be dead. You see? Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Remember, we're talking about the spiritual realm. Those things that take the place of Christ. Those things that are against the things of God. This is the spirit that dwells in our land now. It's becoming more and more prevalent. As I drive to work, I go through Highland Park, and I see probably two or three boarded up churches, and I see a couple of Muslim centers springing up. You see, there can't be a vacuum. There can't be a spiritual vacuum, and there can't be a physical vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. And if the Spirit of God is not there, something else is going to take its place. So why are these things popping up all the place, all these Muslim centers? It's because that people have stopped praying, that people have stopped communicating with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that they have taken the easy route. PC, politically correctness, is a part of that whole thing. Oh, we don't want to offend anybody. This is a spirit right from the pit. You can smell the sulfur every time somebody says it. I mean, it's just like, man, it's like, man, where did that come from? It's like the earth opened up and all of this smoke came out of sulfur. I'm telling you, this is what I think of when people talk about that. Because it's telling people you can't share your faith. Everybody else can share their faith, but not you. Why? Because you have the Spirit of the living God. Your opinion is all that matters. It's the only way that people are going to be saved. Jesus says something in Matthew 24 that's telling for our age today. He says that because iniquity abounds, the love of many will go cold. The love of many will grow cold. That love is agape. Not only will be, because the love of God reaches out. When you describe agape love, you have to read, John 3:16. For God so agape the world that He gave. He gave. He gave Jesus Christ. so that we could be saved, so that our sins could be forgiven. And the way of righteousness, the way to the tree of the knowledge of life, man, it can be, the tree of life, it's open again for all of those who have accepted His Son and His propitiation for, or appeasement for the sin. You are of God, little children. I love that, little children. This is God talking to us. You are of God, little children. Now, you know, as I was growing up, you know, the worst thing that you could call me was a little kid. You know, hey, I'm 14 years old. Don't call me a little kid. I know it all. Are you kidding me? What are you calling me that for? I used to, you know, you didn't say, I did. I said that. You know, I'll fess up to that. Because I knew everything. You know, there's nothing new people can tell me. Come on, really? I'm 14 years old. I've been around. Okay. I love these young guys that come in, you know, they're interns or whatever. Man, I know what they're doing. They're trying to, you know, just trying to pass along all of the knowledge that they've acquired in school and stuff like that. And I sit there and look at them and, yeah, you know everything there, buddy. Okay. You know, I just laugh, you know, okay. They don't know why I'm laughing, but you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. I love how John uses past tense in these things. You have overcome them. Not you're going to, or you're in the process of. You have overcome them. Now, we look at ourselves and we say, well, it doesn't seem like it because you're looking at the wrong realm. You're not looking at the spirit realm. You see, Jesus Christ has conquered already. He did it before the foundations of the earth were laid. He has the victory. He had the victory before the first bird ever flew or that man was ever created. The victory was already His. And that's why we have already overcome, because we have the Spirit of God. And if you have the Spirit of God, then you have the victory. Because we are no longer here. We are standing before the throne room of God, clothed in His righteousness that He has given us, singing hallelujah, glory to God in the highest. And we're giving praise and worship unto the God who has redeemed us. That's where we are now. Not in the by and by. This is where we live now. And we want to bring as many people as we can with us, so we don't allow the situations in the world to dissuade us. We don't use the things of this world to try to reach people. We allow the Spirit of God to go forth from our lips, from our lives, and touch the lives of those around us. That's how it works. You know, don't get all tangled up in you know, programs and things to do. Take that time and go before the Lord and see where you need to be repenting from. What things are holding me back from a closer walk with You, O Lord? This is what I need. This is more than anything. This is what we need as believers in Jesus Christ. Because greater... Now listen up. This is for everybody here. I mean, this whole thing is for everybody. But this in particular, sometimes we forget this. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Are you hearing that, folks? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, the greatest enemy that we can think of is Satan himself, Lucifer, right? The fallen one, the one who corrupts. He's the greatest thing out there, and yet he was a created being by the one who dwells within us. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We got to grab hold of this. We have to, because it's essential for our walk. Because if we forget how great our God is, guess what, folks? We're going to be defeated. We are not going to live as overcomers. We're going to be lived as defeated. We're going to see the power of the enemy, and we're going to say, how can I overcome this? It's already been done. We don't overcome. He has overcome. And He comes and dwells within us to protect us. And we see the danger coming. We see the evil all around. And we run into that strong tower, which is the name of the Lord. And what happens? He gives us the grace to care as He does, where we can pity those who were victims, and we can also pity those who were coerced unknowingly to do these heinous acts. And they can't see it. What kind of a mother would leave a 6-month-old baby to go out and do these things? Think about it, folks. That is spiritual oppression. That has to be. There's no natural thing that would allow somebody to do it. It has to be spiritually born. It has to be just like us. We are translated from this life into the kingdom of God. It's no different. Those that are in the world are subject to the spirit of this world. And if they don't know, they can't resist what they don't know. They don't even realize that they're being manipulated. That's sad. That is really sad. Now, I just pray that all of those people that were in this Christmas party were believers, because now they're with the Lord. We can't be sure. Maybe there are some. Maybe there are some people that are, you know, with the Lord right now. They may have to go through these kind of things. But the Lord didn't say that, hey, our passing from this life to the next was going to be an easy one. It wasn't just going to be, we're going to be laying in bed with all of our loved ones around us, and then we're going to breathe our last as we're singing praises unto God. We'd all like that to happen. But chances are, that's not the way it's going to be. But Lord, have your way. By my life or by my death, let it be a glorifying thing to you. Are we ready to say that? You see? And if not, then we need to go before the Lord. Lord, I need the grace. I need that ability to see things the way you see. I want to be able to feel the things that you feel. I want to be able to put away this flesh and live totally by your Spirit. Now, Jesus was affected by the things of this world. Don't get me wrong. You know, when Lazarus was in the grave, what did he do? When he saw all the mourners around and he saw all the people that had no hope, he wept. It says in there plainly, Jesus wept. But he also groaned in his spirit. It's two different things, you see. He was able to feel the same things that we feel, but he was able to see the reality that they didn't have what he had. Can you see in the faces of the unbelieving folks that you know what you have and what they don't have and what they need? Are you able to give that to them? Are you the called out assembly that can, man, just preach the gospel, preach the word in season, out of season? If not, we need to pray more. We need to get into the Word more. We need to believe more what the Word says and what it is that our responsibility is. And that responsibility is to believe it. That's it. Period. We believe what it says in here. And the Word says, my little children, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Are you hearing what the world says? Are you hearing what the world is telling you? A lot of us are. And that stops us from being overcome. We're not, well, you know what, I heard this preacher say this, and I heard the preacher say that. You know what, it doesn't matter. There are many false teachers that go out into the world, and they may say things that may be tickling to the ears, and they may be pleasing to the flesh, but know this, it's the Word of God. Be ye Bereans, go out and search the Word. Receive the Word with all readiness of mind, but search the Word daily. Make it your daily thing to do to make sure that you don't know or you're not believing false doctrine by searching the Word to prove whether what somebody said is true. Don't take my word for it, folks. Get into the Word and see what the Word says. And if it doesn't say what, if I'm preaching something that's not in the Word, you need to come to me and say, hey, look, you know, this is what the Word says and this is what you said. Now, it could be a misspeak. It happens all the time. But you know what? If there's a doctrine going out that's contrary to the Word of God, I want to know about it. You know, I depend on you guys to be Bereans, to say, hey, look, you know, I'm not just going to take what this guy says. I'm going to search the Word myself and see whether these things be so. That's our job to do. We are of God. True. We are of God. Settle that in your heart first. And he that knoweth God heareth us. Why? Because we speak the word of God. He that is not of God heareth not us. I like, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing because when, I don't do it anymore, but, you know, I've been delivered. Thank you, Lord. But I still maintain, you know, ties to the old, I hate Calvary Chapel sites. And it's kind of interesting when people put arguments out there about this or that and the other thing, or about this false prophet or that false prophet. If I answer with Scripture, man, those same people, the poison that rolls off of their tongue, it's like, man, they can't answer fast enough, and they got this big long discourse. I'm thinking, how did you do that in a few minutes? You know, I mean, all of these scriptures, they must have it in their notes or something. They're just cutting and pasting it right in there. Because they have a ready argument, but they're arguing against the Scripture. They're arguing against the Word of God. And what I don't see in it, and I see a lot of venom and things like that, but what I don't see is that they say they don't acknowledge the Scripture that was posted in their argument. How can you, if you're not going to, you know, I posted a Scripture that kind of goes against your argument. But if you're not going to answer according to the Word, then I can only assume that you've already got this ready answer. You already got it set in your mind. That's wrong because it doesn't agree with my opinion. Folks, if you ever get into that rut, if you ever get to thinking, man, I know it all, this is the way it's supposed to be, you need to beware. You need to be as little children. You need to go back to the Word, because this is what the Spirit of God is doing for you. It's bringing you back into the Word to prove whether those things be so. And then when you stand before the Lord, you can say with a clean heart, hey, it was in your Word. Your Word said this, I believed it. And to make sure it is the Word of God and not your predetermined interpretation of a particular verse or your pet doctrine. You know, there are many barriers that need to be broken down in our own lives to draw us closer to the Lord. Many preconceived ideas. You know, we all come with a little bit of baggage here and there that we've heard this and that, and, you know, and sometimes the people that we actually became born again in that ministry, maybe it's taken a turn for, you know, the worse. And we just kind of like, man, I can't agree with this anymore. Because they've gone astray from what the Word of God says. You know, I got to leave. I got to go from that. Hereby, because of the Word of God, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, something else in the midst of that verse is, he that is not of God heareth not us. Why wouldn't it hear us? Because we speak the word of God. We speak the word of God, and we allow the word of God to do the work. Debates and all of these things, they may be fine for entertainment purposes, but they lead no one to Christ. Because usually people are heated about their opinion on this, or this or that, and this is my side, I'm an Arminist, and over here, well, I'm a Calvinist over here, Calvinist, you know, and so we're going to go to war because this is the hill that I'm going to die on. That's crazy. I thought it was the unity of the Spirit. The world are going to be knowing us because of our love one for another, not because of our, you know, our divisions. If there's divisions, then, you know, I need to put that aside. Let me put this down. Let's start from the beginning and work our way out from that. Jesus Christ died because God loved the world so much and he didn't want to see us perish. Okay, that's good. I like that. So we love God and we love the brethren. Why do we love the brethren? Because we don't want to see anybody perish, because God doesn't want to see anybody perish. You see, once we get past that, then everything else is a cakewalk. Everything else is a piece of cake. There are no divisions. That's all we need to do. Believe. Believe in what Jesus Christ has done. Thereby you will know the spirit of truth, the word of God, and the spirit of error, man's opinion. Man's opinion is the spirit of error. It's the cause of all error. Because if you have the word of God, you're going to hear the word of God. If you have the spirit of God, you're going to hear what the word of God says. If you have the spirit of the world, you're going to believe what the world tells you. And there's two, and they're diametrically opposed one to another. Oh, they may sound good, but folks, it leads to death. Usually, those things that are hard, those are the things that lead to life. Because the Lord doesn't want you to carry this burden. These are things that I don't want you to carry this bitterness. I don't want you to carry this anger. You don't need to be so militant. He didn't call us for that. He called us to love one another. And we need to believe it. And if we believe it, then we'll do it. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we do just thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. And I pray, Father, that as we have heard your word today, Lord, that we would indeed just search ourselves. Lord, for all of the bitterness and all of the anger and all of the things that have, well, that has kept us from a pure walk with you. Oh, Lord, I pray that we do not deceive ourselves. I pray, Father, that we would indeed just yield all to you. Just cleanse us, Lord, from the bottom up. Just shake up our world, the things that we think that we believe. And Lord, just let us get into your word and learn the basics as little children, learning their ABCs. We want to love you with all the heart, and we want to love our neighbor as you have prescribed. Not with our love, but with yours. In Jesus' name, amen.